The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We have seen in chapter 5 the definition of a yogi and a sannyasi, that yogi is the one who has given up the desire for fruits of actions, and the sannyasi is the one who has given up the sense of agency. I am the doer, that sense who has given up, he's a sannyasi. The one who says that I'm doing it for the sake of doing it, but not concerned with the fruits, are a yogi. So we have seen this definition for our purpose, and then we may get confused and saying, okay, well, the yoga is good for me because I cannot give up the sense of doership, but I can give up these fruits of actions, and therefore I never need to be sannyasi but can be a yogi, or other way around. So this chapter 6, the Dhyana Yoga, starts with a clear declaration that one cannot be achieved without the other is achieved. Or the one, if you achieve, the other is automatically achieved. So the first verse says that who has given up the dependence on the karmaphala, in other words, one who has given up the motivational factor which drives all of us, is the result of our actions. Our actions are propelled by our desire to gain something out of it. Therefore, our all karmas are called kamya karma, the desire-prompted actions. One is not dependent on that, but still working in this world. He says such a person is not only a yogi, but a sannyasi. Without the renunciation of I am the doer, I cannot give up the sense of achieving something out of my actions. As long as I think I am doing it, I always expect something out of it. So he says, one can only be achieved if the other is also attained. So they basically said, yogi and sannyasi is one and the same, and then you need to strive to attain the both. However, there is a place for both. You know, in our path of evolution from manhood to godhood, and he said, the one who is seeking to attain that, for him obviously karma yoga is prescribed. I clearly know that I'm not there yet. However, I clearly know that that's what I want to be. Then I'm a seeker. I'm not there yet, but I really need to be at that point. I'm a seeker. At that point, Bhagavan said, you can't really overnight give away the sense of agency. Therefore, the prescription for you is to give up the karma phala. Give up the desire for a particular result out of my actions. That's your goal as a seeker. Once you establish yourself in that, then obviously now you can control your mind. The Bhagavan says, Arurukso mune yogam karma karanam uchyate. Yoga rudasya tasyaiva shamaha karanam uchyate. If I am still at a stage where I'm seeking but not there, selfless activity is the means to achieve that state of mind where it becomes natural for me to not to expect anything out of this. Once I achieved that state, then shamaha, the control at the mental level is prescribed. At that point, the more and more I see the quiescence, the quietude in my mind to achieve the highest in the meditation. So the mind becomes more and more focused into the meditation is the goal. And the shamaha come from this sat sampatti, the sixfold qualifications which Bhagavan Shankaracharya lays out in Tattvabodh. Sama, Dhamaha, Adish, Shata, Sampatti. So out of the six, the first is Dhamaha, physical control. Right now I may have to stop myself physically and say, no, you can't have more coffee. No, you can't have more jalebis, you know. That's the physical, other people stopping me. You are not going to have it, you know. That's the physical. Then at the mental level, Shamaha. When I have achieved that, then I can mentally control and say, I'm not having it, period, you know. No matter how many, you know, sweets you put in front of me. Because I achieved a state of control at some level. So Bhagavan said, if I'm a seeker, karma karana muchyate, selfless activities. After that, the selfless activity can also become a hindrance in my path. Doing good can also create the positive disturbances in my mind. If people don't let me do the good thing which I want to do, I'm angry at them. Well, I really want to be the CEO of this NGO so that I can change this world. But people are not allowing me to do that. And now it's a problem. Even though my goal was to clearly help others, that desire to do good created problems for me. Therefore, at that point, shamaha karanam uchyate. At that point, activity is not necessary, whether good or bad. So he said, for one who has established the shamaha is, you know, prescribed. The last three verses which we have seen say, yadahina indriyatheshu karmeshu anusajjate sarva sankalpa sannyasi yogarudah tada uchyate. Says one, now I know when I was a seeker, that's not a problem. I know I want to gain this, but I'm not there. That's a clear state of understanding. Therefore, the selfless activity is prescribed, and I can do that. When do I know that I'm established in that? So now I can do the second part of shamaha. This verse gives you a definition. Yadahi na indriyartheshu na karmasu anusajjate. You're not attached to the sense objects as well as the actions. See, sometimes we can say, well, I'm really not in this for money, you know. But I really like to do it, you know. My staff comes to me sometimes and say, Neil, this project you are doing, for example, Hindu Center. He said, a great project, but we are losing our shirt on this one. And I said, well, that's fine. We are not making any profit. That's perfectly okay. I just enjoyed working on it. So it is my motive is not the profit. So indriyartheshu, I'm not all my other things I'm doing it for profit, which is this sense object which I'm trying to get out of my activity. But sometimes that's not the goal. But the activity itself I'm attached to. Actions itself, you know, there. You don't let me do it, even at a loss, I'm upset, you know. So that says, yadahina indriyartheshanu karmasvanu sajjade. One who is not even attached to the actions, you know. Sarva sankalpa sannyasi. Not only I'm not attached to the actions and the results out of that, but I'm also not attached to future planning for that. Because my future, sarva sankalpa, sankalpa is a kalpana, imagination of my mind, how can I create a situation in future. And that prompts me to do actions. This Swamiji in a commentary said, Mahabharata said, the root cause of all desire is the sankalpa shakti. My desire I create because I project a future scenario saying, if I do this, then I can do this, and then I can do this, and therefore, let me do this now. So my desire starts from my sankalpa in the future. My imagination of an imaginary future situation, I attaches it to it and creates desires in this. So Bhagavan says not only he is not attached to the sense objects and the actions, but also any future planning to create a future for me. Yoga rudha tadochyade. Pretty difficult. Now I can say I'm yoga rudha. I'm completely established in this state where no activity is necessary for me. The only thing necessary is shamaha, the control at the mental level. And Swamiji clarifies that this is not something you see as a continuum in your life, but when you sit down in the seat of meditation, that I have done my part, but this hour is for me. At that point, none of these three should be bothering you. Neither the actions nor the fruit. Even the desire to get something out of my meditation should not be bothering me. Because we get disturbed and say, you know, I'll tell you what, I'm trying hard, but I can't meditate. Well, that's also a problem. When you're beyond all of that at the seat of meditation, then only you can control your mind and intellect to get to the level beyond mind and intellect. So Bhagavan, in the next two verses, which are extremely important verses and very, very difficult to understand for even the people who had been learning Gita for ages, he says, Uddharat atmana atmanam anna atmanam avasadayet atmevahi atmano banduhu atmevaripu atmanaha. Lift yourself by yourself. And don't let the self fall. In other words, right now I can say, well, I didn't really achieve this because I didn't have a right teacher. I didn't have a guru. How can I do all of that? In the end, Bhagavan says, no guru can be, outside guru will be able to raise from the state you are in to another higher state. Guru can only be a catalyst to motivate you to seek something which you did not know exist, you know. But once you know that exists, it's only your self-efforts will be able to raise you out of that. And so which, then the people, obviously we all get confused. Raise yourself by yourself. Which self you are raising by which other self? The simple definition is, the lower self which I have come to understand as me, this identification with this body, mind and intellect called Jivatma is right now struggling to get out of its limitations. This Jivatma is always connected to the Paramatma, the higher self, you know, by way of my intellect. My highest level of my existence is at the intellectual level. The body, mind and intellect. Intellect is the highest level. Mind connects me to the world because all my likes and dislikes come from my mind running out to the sense objects and getting impressions, getting information. So mind is always associated with the sense objects. Intellect is discriminating factor. It is beyond these experiences trying to figure out what is right and wrong. And therefore, all the inventions, you know, all the discoveries happens at the intellectual level. You know, but it goes beyond the experiences which I am experiencing. So say that intellect which is constantly connected to this self, higher self, let that self lift this lower self out of this sense object experiences. And coming to the conclusion, what is right for me at the level of sense objects. So I said, let your higher self pull your lower self out. It's myself. It's like when I put data into my local computer, it has only the data which I input in. But the network server has all the data which even I didn't put in, but some other people have put into it. But once I connect to that, I have a higher level of intelligence. So when I connect to the Paramatma through my intellect, I get the higher self's help. And therefore I say, don't let, once I made that connection and realized this is good for me, don't let that sense object bring me down again. See, don't let it fall. Atmaivahi atmano bandhu. That self alone is the friend of this lower self, you know. Bandhu atmaeva ripu atmanaha. But that self will also act as its enemy to the lower self, because it always empowers the lower self to do the wrong things. If my lower self is dominated by my mind, which is extrovert, and wants to do wrong things in this world, the only power I gain from is from a higher self, because I am alive. Only a living person can commit crimes. A dead person cannot commit crimes. So you can say, have you not allowed me to do this? I wouldn't have done that. Therefore, well, myself is my enemy. So in that context, if the lower self turns toward the higher self, it acts as a friend to bring you out of it. If the lower self turns toward the world, higher self pushes you more towards the world because of its power and acts as an enemy in your path of evolution. So the last verse we had seen before you go to the seventh verse, it says, Bandhu Atmanah Atman Bandhu Atma Atmanaha Tasya Yena Atmaiva Atmana Jitaha. Too many Atma in it. Higher self is a friend of the lower self who has control his self by the self. One who has controlled his mind, you know, who has now become the Yoga Rudaha, one who has controlled his mind, this lower self is not now controlled by my extrovert mind. This Jivatma, which I call the body, mind, and intellect, is now ruled by the intellect, not by the mind. I may feel like punching you, but my intellect says he's twice as big as you are, Neil. You may punch him, but he may smash you down, you know. So my intellect says, restrain yourself, even though you feel like punching him, you know. That's my intellect ruling over my mind. My mind wants to do things by impulses, you know. Whereas my intellect stops me gaining from the strength and the wisdom from the higher self. One who has a control over his mind by the intellect. In other words, the mind and intellect is integrated. Mind wants to do something else, intellect says something else. I say something, but I do something else. I believe in something, but my actions are something else. That's a disparity in my mind and intellect, you know, equipment. This integrity, once I reach that I do what I think is right, I can then lift myself out of any situation. So I said, one who has done that, for him the higher self is the friend. Atmanah tu satrutve vartet atmaiva satrutve. You know, this self stands in the position of enemy. But to unconquered self, one who has not conquered this mind, which is dominating in my personality. People say, well, he's a very emotional person. He's an emotional personality. One is a very intellectual personality. One who is dominated by the emotions. Emotions are the impressions from this world and my immediate reaction to it. I like it. I got to have it, you know. That's why I say in negotiation I learned that the weakest point in Americans going to India or Pakistan to negotiate, you right in front of that vendor say, I got to have it. I love it. I got to have it. The guy knows you are on the hook. You know? He knows that whatever price, in the end you are going to take it from me. But our Indian negotiators, I really don't want it, but I think I can help you by buying it, you know. So Bhagavan said, the one who has no control over his mind, this self acts as the enemy. I need to have this. Well, you get the more power to do that. So the one who has the intellect and mind integrated, the self acts as the friend. One with the mind and intellect disjointed, to him the self acts as the enemy. And that's where we will stop.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.